Welcome to the world of the art on the Zuiderdam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper, but it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures on board. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Zuiderdam today and show you some of the art that makes each Holland America ship unique. Let's begin the tour right here in the Erasmus Library. As you can tell, it's full of books. But note the small model library. It's made by artist Charles Matten. It's a miniature of a library, well, very much like the one you're in. For the Zuiderdam, he created this miniaturization to give you a view of the library, which increases our level of consciousness of what a library can be. Think of it as a glimpse into a world that isn't quite what it appears.
Something like a Twilight Zone episode in the making.
Yeah, it does give you kind of a slightly surreal feeling.
Well, also note the amazing craftsmanship of the marble table with inlaid metal, which has been weathered to look like it's centuries old. It's the creation of Gilbert Labigre and Corinne Roger, a husband and wife couple who live and work near Pisa in Italy.
Fortunately, by the demand of the VFD office and Mr. Dingemann, we had the chance to experiment a lot of different words of crafting and high-end crafter. And especially the marble was a passion we always had, and we have been entering it just through our experience of what was the church, for instance, in Siena or in the San Marco Basilic, where you have this unbelievable stone with incredible colors and precious materials, where the people, by walking on them, are just smoothing the surface and this. And so with the Florentine way of doing mosaic and all of this, we have been getting into that, and we have worked to make these tables. We're very fond of them. We like them. We're quite proud of that collection, yeah.
And the ultra-modern furniture that accompanies the table gives an interesting yet cozy juxtaposition where you can sit down, relax, and take in the marvelous ceiling by Labigre with books made of Eco Deco to carry the theme. Well, you'll hear more about Eco Deco later.
And first, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea and is worth many millions of dollars. As you see, as we take you along on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as some contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of most Holland America Line ships, and everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Dingemans incorporate certain themes into each ship. Here on the Zuiderdam, one theme is flowers. You'll see flowers used in art objects all around the ship. And Dingemans even carries out the theme with flowered motifs in stateroom hallways and doorways.
Now, Fritz Lohmeyer is the executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam. It's widely considered one of the best museums of its kind in the world. He's very familiar with art on board Holland America ships.
But from the view of a curator, a museum's curator, it is the historical context, really. People nowadays can enjoy it, and they can see if they really look, and that you have to learn, perhaps, what is the difference between real art quality or real ship models and remakes. Well, it is again a source of knowledge, and it gives you not only a picture but a feeling, and if you are really interested in understanding of what maritime life is. Paintings, drawings, etches are one of the main sources for historical research of 17th century earlier shipping, because we don't have so many written sources, and we certainly don't have many ship models.
And that, according to Lohmeyer, is what makes the collections of maritime antiques aboard Holland America ships so valuable. Now, before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. Also, feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters, and at any time during the tour, to give yourself time to get to a location, the start of the next artwork, or if you'd like more time to admire something. Coming up, you'll be on Chapter 2.
Chapter 2, Deck 3, Promenade Deck. Okay, ready to go exploring? We're leaving the Erasmus Library and heading forward. Now we're on the promenade deck, deck 3, heading toward the Internet Café. Note the two large medallions on the wall. They're of Frank Lloyd Wright, and they were created by Dutch sculptor Erik Claus to commemorate the career and life of the famous architect and his famous slogan, "I'll think as I'll act, as I am." You'll also find reproductions of renderings of Wright's famous house, Falling Water. And to carry the design theme even farther, Dingemans has added some very modern Italian leather chairs. You'll notice as you tour the ship that many rooms and spaces are designed to showcase the art in many ways.
Now, also near the Internet Center, you'll see a remarkable model of one of the Windstar cruise ships. Windstar ships are officially designated masted sail yachts, which underscores the vessel's unique rigging.
The sails can unfurl in just minutes at the push of a button, and on deck, all you can see are billowing white sails reaching to the sky. Now here, you'll also notice a mechanical coffee maker. It was made of brass and pressed metal by Henry Alexander in France around 1880.
And this coffee maker has a real story behind it. You know, since the 14th century, people have searched for the best way to make coffee.
Well, I always do.
Well, for 400 years, from 1300 until 1700, cooking the coffee mixture was the way they did it. And before that, they didn't even roast the beans.
Ooh, that must have been bitter.
I think so. Of course, there were different views on how it should be cooked, but the result was always the same. Coffee, with a very strong taste, which not everybody liked.
Yeah, no wonder. But all that changed in the 19th century, when coffee designers actually worked to engineer a system that would separate the coffee from the grounds. And so coffee maker design improved and even became an art form, like you see here. This very rare model was made in 1880 in Paris. It actually worked.
We're still moving forward towards the Internet Center, and check out the high-tech design look of clocks on the wall showing world time around the world. The fiber optic light column in the center of the room changes color as the day goes on.
Note the relief is printed circuit boards. And the ceiling, well, it's a perfect counterpoint with Florentine figures reproduced in Ecco Deco from Baroque fountains in the city.
With furnishings by Norman Foster, the noted British architect and designer, this room is an amazing combination of architecture, well, from the 15th to the 21st century. Very appropriate for the internet, wouldn't you say? And even the material used to create the ceiling reflects some very interesting technology. Remember we said we'd tell you about Ecco Deco? It was invented by Labigre and Roger.
we have been working on some kind of chemistry, alchemistry kitchen to find the way to make an alternative to the plastic and to have something which is ecologic, non-toxic, and in the same time that can fit for a shipbuilding, which means elasticity, which means quality for painting, for decorating. And that's how we came up with the EcoDeco.
And it's fireproof and biodegradable.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, biodegradable if you leave it outside, but if you keep it, it will last very long. We have chosen to live in art like an adventure. We are trying to stay out of the circuit of the traditional museums or things like this. We love to enter in adventure.
Exiting the internet center and moving forward, turn left, and we'll come to the forward elevator lobby. That's where we'll start our next chapter.
And just as a reminder, we are on the promenade deck, deck 3.
Chapter 3, Forward Elevator Lobby, Deck 3, Promenade Deck.
Now here in the forward elevator lobby of Deck 3, you'll see a series of six small shadow boxes with sculptures that tell an intricate story, and it's definitely worth the time to take a close look at them. They're by Volker Kuhn. Study them for a while and you'll see why they create such fascination. Small wonder, Kuhn works are in such demand by museums and collectors. I especially like the one of the man riding a champagne cork.
Wonder why, Paul? Now, Renee Teinman, a Holland America hotel manager, especially likes these works by Kuhn.
I'm very fond of all the little bits and pieces that you find. The little, for instance, near the shops, outside the library, you have these tiny little boxes tucked away in the wall. It forces you to kind of, when you go around the ship, to really study every corner, and I like all those little hidden away pieces, fun corners really that are there that you really need to discover, that you don't see at first glance when you quickly walk through the ship. So that's always my favorite of a new ship.
And don't miss the cast aluminum doors on the elevators. They were inspired by the Art Deco work of the New York Chrysler Building. Gilbert and Roger made them for all the Vista class ships.
Now, take the forward elevators up to Deck 10, the observation deck.
Chapter 4, Forward Elevator Lobby, Deck 10, Observation Deck.
Just inside the elevator lobby are major works from the Art Nouveau period. The two panels with peacocks are by Arteprex in Holland. They're copies of 1930s era panels. Arteprex is known for doing accurate reproductions for many museums. They really capture that Art Nouveau period, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know how Art Nouveau got its name?
Well, it was new art?
Well, no. Actually, it was named after an art gallery in Paris called Art Nouveau. And it opened in 1895. For its time, this was modern art. And don't miss the model by Le Bigre and Roger of a penny medallion by Gustave Courbet. By making the piece on such a scale, the work captures the emerging form of realism that Courbet pioneered in the mid-19th century. Now, walk into the crow's nest. It's a lounge that serves as an observation room by day. By night, it becomes a dance club. After passing the entrance to the oak room on your right side, the starboard side as you face forward, there are some very interesting ceramics. Well, they look like teapots, but they're actually ewers. No, that's just another name for a jug. They're in the shape of Chinese characters, which stand for long life and immortality. These are particularly fine examples of this form. Be sure to notice the colors of the glazes.
You know, I can't imagine that these were ever actually used. They must have been just for decoration.
I think that huge white rose is wonderful. It's a painting on aluminum by Stefan Bronniger, a German painter who has taken the old Dutch still life tradition to another level.
Well, now you can pause your iPod as you continue around to the port side of the crow's nest. On the back walls of the room there are some great maritime paintings.
there's a 17th century painting that really captures the romance of the sea. It's by Jan Peters, and it shows some interesting scenes of life with the workmen on shore. It's located above a particularly fine example of a bronze cannon from the 18th century. Holland America ships have several fine examples of cannons from the period of Dutch trading and exploration. Typically, they're found caught in fishermen's nets in the North Sea.
As you leave the crow's nest on the port side, notice the wooden ship model in the corridor. It has some great details on it. It's a cross from an interesting painting from the 20th century of the U.S. Constitution outsailing the British frigate Santa Margarita in a match race. I imagine it commemorates a moment in history, but it's hard to imagine the two ships actually racing.
Now walk back to the elevator lobby and out, and take either the elevator or the stairs down to Deck 9, the Lido deck. Sometime during your cruise, give yourself a treat and explore all three of the ship's staircases. Each one has serious art at every level. We'll tell you more about the art in the forward staircase a little later. For now, though, let's explore Deck 9, the Lido deck. Chapter 5, Forward Elevator Lobby, Deck 9, Lido deck.
Now on the port side, across from the greenhouse spa reception desk, is a striking white marble statue from France. It was made in 1752. It's an imitation of Greek style that was very popular at the time. And I think it's very appropriate that the goddess Venus is placed outside the greenhouse spa and salon.
Oh, very appropriate indeed. Now, head aft to the Lido pool deck, past the hydrotherapy pool. Spending some time in that pool is a whole different kind of artistic experience. But for now, walk on by and go out onto the Lido pool deck.
Well, now that you mention it, I think I'd like to linger here a while in that pool.
Oh, no you don't. We have lots more to see. Now, as you go outside to the Lido pool, look down. You'll notice the remarkable floor with inserts of koi swimming beneath you. Looks just like you're looking down through a pool of water.
That is an amazing effect, isn't it? And the ocean theme is carried out above, so if you look up, you'll see that the ceiling has a seashell motif.
Yep, but what is really striking is the Susanna Holt sculpture of two polar bears, a mother and cub, on an ice floe sitting at the edge of the Lido pool. If you cross over to the starboard side of the pool, you'll get a better angle of this wonderful sculpture.
I find the best view is about midway down the pool on the starboard side. You'll get a better view of the life-size polar bears from there. Holt really captures the essence of a polar bear family here, and realize that the work is bronze and weighs much more than a ton. It's just amazing how she manages to capture the white fur and even the ice that they're standing on, and that's all bronze.
You know, she told us that she spent hours watching the bears in the San Diego Zoo. She says she much prefers to study animals in the wild, but it was just too difficult when it came to polar bears. I think she really captured that amazing qualities that the bears have that you see in nature films.
Well, we're going to move into the Lido restaurant from here, so continue aft through the doors. You may wish to put your iPod on pause until we get in there. Once inside, though, continue heading aft to the starboard side of the Lido restaurant near the buffet.
Here is a remarkable painting you might not have noticed. It's a massive painting by Charles Bell of flowers.
I believe they're tulips, and very large tulips at that.
Yes, well, the size of Bell's painting is quite large. This one is painted on aluminum, which is an interesting surface on which to paint. It gives a luminous quality to the paint.
And Bell believes that these large paintings of his have a kind of body language within them, so much so that often his perceptions of the flowers he's painted has changed while he's painting them. Study them for a while and you may see the flowers change too. They do take on a different quality as you look at them.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Now, let's continue aft on the starboard side. Look to your left and you'll see some tall lamps, very colorful lamps by Franz Lehmann. Fascinating.
Well, indeed. They're made from a flexible material that Lehmann discovered, and it makes for a dazzling illumination.
Also, look at the ceramic murals on the wall. They're ceramic works by Dora Dolz called Fruits and Flowers. She worked for more than 3 months to create the transparent colors of these lighthearted works. Strolling along these panels has been likened to walking through a fairy tale world. Well, that's what Dolce intends.
Now, as we continue to head aft, you may wish to pause your iPod again until we reach the aft pool on the Lido deck. Now, continuing aft, look at the colorful lounge that's outdoors on the aft deck. Talk about whimsy! Well, Gushy Beverdam created this ceramic throne or lounge as something from a dream world. She looks for unique ways to display her ceramic works. Well, this sort of makes you want to lounge in regal splendor, doesn't it? In fact, she says it's supposed to make you feel regal.
It looks like a fun spot to recline artfully and have your picture taken.
Okay, we're going to retrace our steps back into the Lido restaurant. When you get in, turn left, you'll find yourself in the aft elevator lobby, Deck 9, Lido Deck.
And look at this splendid model of a weather vane in the stairwell. It's a replica of a ship weather vane on top of the Royal Palace in Amsterdam.
The function of a weather vane, of course, is to indicate the exact direction of the wind. But that isn't the only purpose. Weather vanes were also used to represent the function of a building. Does this fit a royal palace? I guess maybe it does. A farmhouse might have a weather vane in the form of livestock, often a cow or a horse. When formed as a cow, the animal's head would point in the direction of the wind. But a real cow in a meadow, of course, always turns its back towards the wind. The cock, or rooster, however, is reserved for the city steeple, as it is a symbol of watchfulness. The vane on a Dutch windmill often either takes the form of a metal blade or of a miller carrying a sack of flour on his back. If you continue exploring this staircase, you'll find a different weather vane on each level as you walk down.
But Paul, I had no idea you were such an expert on weather vanes.
It's the language of the weather vane. Well, they don't call me the keeper of odd knowledge for nothing.
Okay, let's head down to the lower promenade deck, Deck 2, and we'll meet you at the entrance to the Vista Dining Room for the next chapter. Until then, you might want to pause your iPod. Chapter 6, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2.
Okay, when you emerge from the elevators, look for copies of ornamentation from the state yacht, and you'll get an idea of how elaborate these early sailing ships really were. And when you visit the Vista Dining Room, take some time to see those marvelous German still lifes. The first is entitled Still Life with Grapes, Peaches, and Oysters. Note the rich yet subtle colors which seem to leap out of the dark background. This is a perfect example of the use of what artists call negative space. The popularity of the still life style, that's compositions of still objects set by an artist, was part of a development that took place at the end of the 16th century. Around 1600, everywhere in Europe, the first real still lifes appeared, in which no people were depicted.
And artists who had their eye on more complex historical paintings, scenes from the Bible, from mythology, or from history, had to know the classics, and they had to also be proficient in many styles of painting. The great irony is that still lifes were at the bottom in terms of status for many years.
But in the 17th century, this type of painting became highly popular, particularly with the wealthy, who loved not only their simplicity, but the fact that they were painted to look almost tangible, and of course they included all those ornate vases.
Now for our next chapter, we're going to head toward the room often referred to as the smoker's room on our way to the explorer's lounge, which is on the starboard side.
Remember, we're on the lower promenade deck, Deck 2.
Chapter 7, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Explorer's Lounge.
Now in the smoker's room, you'll find several old oils and a remarkable ship model from the U.S. of the Robert E. Lee Paddle Wheel Steamboat. This was commissioned by the Hill Company in New Albany, Indiana, and built in 1865. This model ship was built in the same year by the Sheet Metal Workers International in the United States. It's made of tin and mixed media, and if you take some time here, you can see the incredible detail of this model. There are three decks surrounded by the characteristic white fence. The wheelhouse, located on the top deck, and its two steam whistles can almost make you hear the shrill tone as it reverberates off the waters of the mighty Mississippi.
It is a remarkable model ship, not only because of its dimensions, it weighs about 30 pounds, but especially because it's made from tin.
Most model ships made in that period were made of wood. But here there's also a fantastic baccarat crystal galleon that should not be missed.
Now head forward to the Explorer's Lounge. There you'll see the striking oil painting of Venice. In fact, it's my favorite. It's called Venice in Moonlight by Carl Heilmeier. Look at the eerie yet romantic old world feel of this painting. It captures the Victorian era and makes you want to be in Venice, listening to the singing of the boat pilots in the moonlight. Dutch merchants traded with Venice in the golden age of Dutch maritime history, and these oils portray that period.
In fact, the entire lounge and this part of the ship is themed around art from and about Venice, and it's worthy of a closer look. Remember to look for those small works of art that we mentioned.
When you're ready, exit the Explorer's Lounge at the forward end. Look down and see the wonderful glass photograph of Venice as it's reflected in the water. That's done by Stefano Baroni. There's another one a little farther along. In a way, it's the perfect view of Venice, which is so closely associated with water because it's built on the lagoon.
And both photographs are of palaces in Venice that you can see today. Speaking of which, notice the replica bust of the Doge, which is done by Labigre in bronze?
It's marvelous. Continue, on the right is the Windstar Cafe, and just before it on the left is an homage to the Carnival in Venice, a whimsical interpretation of Commedia dell'arte.
These are fanciful depictions, to be sure. They're wild, elaborate costumes.
Yeah, but it really captures the spirit of Venice at Carnival, at least as someone imagined it to be. I'm not sure it was ever quite that fanciful.
Yeah, I can imagine. Moving closer to the Windstar Cafe, there's yet another underwater scene of Venice reflected in water. And on the left, you'll see a case with glass art by the Dutch glass artist Peter Bremers. He works in Maastricht in the Netherlands. Notice the workmanship on the glass pieces. The various colors of glass are created by fusing different layers together while it's still hot from the furnace.
Now, can you see the still lifes through the windows in the Pinnacle Grill? These are prints from paintings in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam and other great museums in Europe. They represent some of the finest still lifes in the world. Don't they just make you want to stay there and enjoy a luxurious dinner?
You should now be in the atrium, and you're still on deck 2 of the lower promenade deck.
Chapter 8, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Atrium. Here in the atrium, you can't miss this marvelous depiction of a crystal seahorse by Waterford Crystal.
It's 6 feet tall and weighs an incredible 3 tons. But the most remarkable aspect is that as it turns, it captures the light and reflects it in different ways as it moves.
We caught up with Billy Canning, chief designer of Waterford Crystal in Ireland. He was in charge of designing the centerpieces for all the Vista-class ships.
We picked the seahorse because we kind of felt it symbolized graceful life within the oceans. And if you look on the Zuiderdam, you'll see the seahorse floating beneath what we tried to get was a coral effect. So it was just gracefully moving under a coral. So it kind of symbolized both companies. Seahorse itself is just on 6 foot high. Its weight, I can tell you the overall weight of the sculpture is nearly 3 tons. Actually, we never really weighed the seahorse itself because it probably wouldn't be the heaviest element of it, you know, hand cut and mouth blown, you know, so it brought us into a whole new era.
Simply dazzling. You'll also notice more work by the Dutch glass artist Peter Bremers as we move forward.
So, go down the atrium stairs or move forward to the elevator. You can pause your iPod, but however you go down to Deck 1, come back to the stairs at the bottom of the atrium after you exit the elevator. Join us on Deck 1, the main deck.
Chapter 9, Main Deck, Deck 1, Atrium. On the wall facing the front office, you'll find an interesting painting of Queen Beatrix by pop culture artist and icon Andy Warhol.
It's one of 4 Warhol painted of the Queen. Including the Zuiderdam, there's one on each Vista-class ship, including the Westerdam, the Oosterdam, and the Noordam. It's one of the few complete sets in existence.
Warhol also did portraits of Chairman Mao and Princess Grace, along with other members of royalty. His idea was to portray celebrities as famous brands. Remember the Campbell soup cans? Andy Warhol was the most famous pop artist of them all, pioneering the use of silk screening, as he did here, to create stunning images of popular themes, celebrities, historical figures. Well, if you want to see all four of the paintings of Queen Beatrix, start booking your cruises now. Take a look around the corner and you'll see a shining ship in a display case. It's a silver Neff.
Well, actually, it's just a giant salt shaker.
You peaked! Well, actually, it is. And there's a fascinating story that goes with it. This exceptionally fine example dates from the 19th century in Germany. But the original Neffs were used in the 14th century for a very practical purpose. Salt, table cutlery, and seasonings were stored in the Neff, which was kept locked. A trusted servant would bring it to the table and unlock it in front of the lord of the dinner. That way, he knew no one would poison his seasonings.
Gives new meaning to pass the salt. Moving forward on the main deck, port side, you'll see in the elevator lobby a Commedia dell'arte figure, a half-size Piero by Lavigre and Roger. Smaller versions appear on the Oosterdam, another Vista-class ship.
On the other side is Piero's Colombina in a bronze-like Ecco Deco.
But the Commedia dell'arte are characters of the human comedy somehow, and in the same time they are acted by actors, and it's like you're dressing these characters as a comedian, and this magic moment where the comedian is entering the character was a subject that we really enjoyed to work on, and we tried to express the gesture, the movement, the meaning of the character.
Now take the elevator or stairs up to lower promenade deck, deck 2. As you exit, look for Bip, another character from Commedia dell'arte, depicted in a costume made famous by Marcel Marceau, one of the world's great mimes.
Chapter 10, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Atrium. Facing forward, go to the port side, the left side of the ship, and walk as though you were going to enter the Queen's Lounge and Culinary Arts Center.
There you'll see a sign for Northern Lights. Enter the hallway to your left. You'll see some wonderful posters depicting the golden age of Hollywood. There's one poster of 20th Century Fox signed by 22 of their most popular stars. It's just wonderful.
And one from Republic Pictures, which has 38 early cowboy stars, like Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Slim Pickens.
Even Monty Hall. And MGM stars Fernando Lamas, Janet Leigh, Sid Charisse, Eleanor Powell. Imagine that. Glimpses of the history of American film.
Continue along the corridor, enjoying the art and looking for autographs of your favorite old-time stars. Pause your iPod as you go into the Northern Lights and exit the other side. You'll be on the starboard side of the ship, and the casino is to your left. Chapter 11, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2, Casino. Now first you'll see a bronze statue of Neptune wrestling a sea monster. In classical mythology, the Roman god Neptune, well, in Greek he was Poseidon, he was the god who ruled the sea and its inhabitants. Sailors evoked him to ensure a safe voyage, though when roused to anger, he could cause storms and shipwrecks.
Well, I understand he's always happy here on Holland America ships.
Well, of course.
Now, just across from the casino is the sports bar alcove, and in the back, there's a grouping of ceramic figures by Jan Schnuck. They're all accepting medals. They're all quite whimsical and really worth a closer look. If you wish, you can pause here and sit back in the Italian leather furniture to take them all in. The next stop is the piano bar.
Continue forward through the casino into the piano bar on your right. Immediately to your left is a four-keyed English serpent horn, played in England in 1830. This special wooden wind instrument owes its name to the strongly curved form reminiscent of a snake. The serpent represented the bass part of the cornet family. It's said that this instrument was an invention of Guillaume from the French city of Auxerre around 1590. The serpent became obsolete as an instrument and disappeared in the middle of the 19th century.
Sort of looks like a tuba that's lost its way. I wonder what it sounded like.
Well, you couldn't be more right, Paul. Nowadays, the bass tuba performs this musical part.
Also notice the walls of the piano bar. You'll see paintings by Hans Leiserdorf of a man in a trench coat. There's a story here. Leiserdorf started a tradition of using himself as a model because at first he couldn't afford a model. He lives amid some of the most beautiful orchards we've ever seen. Spend some time with these paintings and you'll see some really interesting ideas that Leiserdorf has included in them.
When you've had your fill of examining these works, exit the forward entrance of the piano bar. Now remember, you're on the starboard side, lower promenade deck 2, and come with us toward the Vista Lounge.
But before you get there, turn left at the forward elevator lobby for a real surprise.
Chapter 12, Lower Promenade Deck, Deck 2. Think of the forward staircase as a vertical art gallery. You can take the elevator or the stairs to the top and then come down. On each of the landings in the forward staircase, you'll notice a large marine painting. These are by one of the world's leading marine artists, Captain Stephen J. Card. All the paintings that Card has done for Holland America are collected in a book, Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet. But here, you can see the originals of his work for the Zuiderdam.
You can pause your iPod here and look at the paintings, or return another time to enjoy Card's art. Each painting has a descriptive label.
For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel, as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. Do you ever wonder how an artist gets started?
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984 and worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say. And I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
Now, each of the paintings Card did for Zuiderdam has something special in it. For instance, the Dubbeldam from the 19th century is shown with her rigging. She was powered by steam, but sails could be set to save on fuel in favorable weather.
Two of my favorite paintings show the Rotterdam 5 and the Stottendam 4 at sea. Card has created a story for each, and I find the painting just fascinating.
You know, you can visit the former headquarters building of Holland America Line. Today it's a hotel, the New York Hotel in Rotterdam. Rotterdam is one of the largest and busiest ports in the world and a major center of shipping. It's also home to great architecture, since the city was completely rebuilt after World War II. There's even an architecture museum. The Maritime Museum in the city is one of the world's best and has a large collection of Holland America historical artifacts. It also has the world's oldest non-archaeological ship model. It's from Spain, and it's more than 500 years old.
Fritz Lumeyer, the executive director of the museum, sees social history as well in these paintings by Captain Card.
And now you see the historical paintings of Stephen Card. Beautifully done. Precisely picturing the historical ships of the Holland America Line, looking back to the history of the company. And in the post-war period, when Europe had to be built up again, people were not looking back, they were looking forward. That's the difference between the 1950s and the era we are living in now. But in both cases, it says a lot about how we are and what our perspective is.
You know, Lumeyer told me that one of the great things about collecting maritime art is that it really gives you a perspective on history in so many ways.
You know, Zuider means south. Each of the Vista-class ships is named for a point on the compass. And since many cities in Holland are named with dam because they're built near or next to water and are protected by a dam or dike, well, Zuiderdam was near the Zuider Dam. And in Holland America Line, the passenger ships end in dam, like Zuiderdam, and the cargo ships ended in dyke.
Well, except that Holland America no longer has cargo ship.
No, that was in the old days.
Speaking of history, now after viewing the card paintings in the forward staircase, you should end up on the lower promenade deck, deck 2, in the elevator lobby. Take the stairs or elevator to deck 3, that's one level up, the promenade deck, deck 3, for our next chapter.
Chapter 13, Promenade Deck, Deck 3, Forward.
As you exit, head aft, retracing your steps to the Erasmus Library. But before you return your iPod, walk down the center hallway until you reach the display case with a cabinet printed with architectural drawings.
In many ways, it's more than a cabinet, it's a building. And as each part is opened, will you see a part of the building in remarkable detail?
Well, it's that time to head back to the Erasmus Library and return your iPod if you borrowed one.
But your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Zuiderdam. You are sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
And to inspire your search, well, we have some homework. Now, don't worry, this will be fun. As you continue your cruise, see if you can find some carved wooden hall lights by one of England's master carvers. Well, there's a hint, they're carved out of lime wood. And two chairs shaped like scissors with claws on the legs. That's interesting. And then there are spring and summer. They're modeled in Eco Deco. Well, oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.